Okay, so the talk is about tree approximations for multi-dimensional transaction cost models. So this is actually a small bit of work I've done. Like, this is not the complete thing I'm showing to you, just so that you understand it easily. Very small model I'm presenting, and I'll actually be using tree-based method to actually approximate the model. And the model I'll be picking is the simplest model you can possibly conceive. And it's a discrete time framework. I highlight the approximation methodology, perform some numerical analysis on it, and then show you some conclusions and some future work. Okay. So the problem of optimizing portfolios is like is a very old problem, but under transaction cost, it's like still under development. And I'll be proposing tree approximation as some simplistic alternative approach to solve the problems. Especially since the exact probability model can be extremely computationally expensive when you move in higher dimensions, especially. And I'll be giving you a computational study to highlight the entire procedure and everything. Before we get started, some important thing I'll want to discuss over here is the standard portfolio theory, first of all, is a single period myopic. The investor is like deciding what he wants to invest initially, and he doesn't change anything up to the terminal time. And the terminal time can be, say, 1 year, like a very large amount. And in between the time period, a lot of things can happen. So this is a very bad assumption. As I said, the parameters are expected to be constant. The return and volatility is expected to be constant over the finite horizon. And most often, these single period models don't incorporate transaction costs. You can put in them, but usually they don't put in the transaction costs. So the simplest model I'll be presenting to you, I'm presenting you a very simple model just to illustrate it. Like, I have actually considered more advanced models and things like that, so that it's very easy to understand in the slides. So the investment model is a finite horizon model of, say, 2 years. I'm allocating my wealth between risky and non-risky asset over the time horizon dynamically. And it's a single optimal control problem. At each point in time, I have to decide whether to rebalance or not to rebalance. And whenever I rebalance, I incur a transaction cost. And I'll be maximizing some utility function of the terminal wealth. And in general, I'm actually even if I solve it a finite horizon problem, it can be generalized to infinite horizon problems. To depict everything graphically and visually so that you can understand it easily further, you can see over here are two things I have depicted over here. In one of the system of equations, the investor rebalances, and in one of the system equations, he doesn't rebalance. Whenever he rebalances, a certain fraction of his portfolio gets eaten away by transaction cost, right? A certain fraction. Now, this is a very simple assumption, actually. You know, like the transaction cost actually depends upon the amount you transact, upon many other factors, actually. The model is just assuming that it takes a certain fraction of the wealth away. In general, if this is your state space, right? So the state space actually consists of the risky fraction. By risky fraction, I mean the fraction of assets I have in the risky assets. So if, say, this is the ith risky fraction asset space, this is the jth risky fraction asset. In general, the no transaction region has some kind of closed curve shape. The Merton point for, say, the Merton point usually lies inside that. And depending upon the shape of your optimal utility, the shape of your terminal utility function, depending upon your transaction cost structure, the shape, the topological structure of the no transaction region will change. So by no transaction region, I actually mean that whenever the risky fraction space is within this region, I never transact, and whenever I'm outside that, I transact enough to bring it inside the no transaction region. And this is usually what's called a singular optimal control policy for these kind of problems. To debate something before I actually go to the real analytic stuff and solving the model. So you can see that that the no transaction region shrinks as I go back in time. So initially the no transaction region was very big, and when I solve the problem out, the no transaction region shrinks, and in the infinite horizon it doesn't change at all. It just becomes a constant. It becomes a fixed point kind of a region, right? And it just really depends upon your utility function and transaction cost structure, how the region changes up. So let's go to the real stuff. for this the very simplest the simplest model we can conceive in the reality. I am using a tree based approximation for this model. What I do is that in reality, say your stock price risky asset model is geometric Brownian motion, right? I'll substitute the real probability model by a discrete model of risky growth. There are many possible ways to actually replace that, but I'll be matching moments up to a certain order to create the tree. And when I'm matching the moments, there's several options you can consider. Can I match the moments or the risky prices, the risky price, the price of the risky assets themselves, the logarithm of the risky growths, the risky growth itself, like the simple returns. So there are many possible schemes for creating trees. And so it's a non-unique procedure, you know. So the best possible tree approximation that we'll usually pick is the one that converges to the true viscosity solution of the equivalent PD we will probably get when we're solving the problem. Viscosity solution is a little more technical term, but nonlinear PDEs usually have non-unique solutions, right? Even when you're assuming it's an ANSAT solution to a PDE, like it doesn't mean that that's the only solution. You need to prove that it's the viscosity solution of the PDE. So, for example, in case of three dimension, a tree can look like this, right? It's non-unique. We can draw thousands of trees, right, really. And the basic fundamental mathematics behind solving these kind of problems is dynamic programming. So I have an objective at terminal time, and I'm actually recursively going to my initial time and determining the optimal policies. So for this problem, for example, I'm not explaining the mathematics in detail, but if the value function is J and it changes with the utility function, it can be written like this. W is the wealth, A is the risky fraction. And you can see that it admits separability in the wealth. And so when we are finding the optimal policy just depends upon the risky fraction. And this is the separability I have for the Kara utility function. For the log utility function, I have this kind of recursive formalism. So I am actually not discussing sharp ratio maximization. It's a much more complex mathematical problem. It's a time inconsistent problem, meaning the optimal policy changes with time. If I'm assuming that the dynamic programming, that it's a pre-commitment strategy, I don't change the optimal strategy I compute at the initial time. Let me show you that. So the black region is the no transaction region, and the red and blue are the buy and sell boundaries, and you can see that the no transaction region shrinks and changes its topology with time as you go to the from the terminal to the initial time. This is a wealth space, this is the risky fraction space. So the numerical analysis I'll be doing is the tree approximation for the simple model I considered initially, right? I'll display some graphical no transaction regions. I'll show how the accuracy of the method changes with the order of the moment matching, and I'll show some error analysis for the method too. So in one dimension, the no transaction region looks pretty much like this. The no transaction region is this line, and initially it's pretty wide, and it drastically changes its form as I go initial towards t equals to zero, and it becomes fairly constant. And the upper region is a sell side boundary, the lower region is a buy side boundary, and this is the risky fraction space and the time space. This is the Merton line. And whenever I go above the no transaction region, I transact enough to bring it inside the no transaction region. Actually, I go directly to the Merton point. Depending upon the transaction cost structure and utility function, there can be different possible optimal policies, but for the simple model I considered initially, the optimum policy, the dynamic programming formalism suggests is that whenever I go outside the no transaction region, I'll transact enough to get inside the no transaction region and to the Merton line. I won't go anywhere, I'll go directly to the Merton line. Because it's a fixed transaction cost problem, I chunk my take a certain fraction of my portfolio away. It doesn't depend upon the size of the transaction, right? So that's why it goes directly to the Merton line. Now the accuracy, say I'm in two dimensions, right, and I want to check the proximity, the accuracy of the tree methods. So at a certain time slice, this is the no transaction region I'm getting from the tree. It almost coincides with the exact solution implied by the PDE. Wilmot has done some asymptotic analysis for this kind of problems, and he gets solutions that are pretty off from the exact solution, probably because it depends upon the smallness of transaction cost, and if the transaction cost is not small enough, the asymptotic methods also break down. The perimeter dependent. So the tree-based methods are kind of very prone to other kinds of instability, like less prone to instabilities and blah blah blah. So order of moment matching. You can also see that as I increase the order of moment matching for the tree, the value function also converges to the true value function. And with the fifth order, it almost coincides. You can see in the same thing I was showing in slides, the value function implies an optimal policy, right? So the risky fraction boundary is itself the optimal policy, right? Encapsulated in the value function. So as the order of the moment matching is increasing, the risky fraction boundary, which is the optimal policy, is also converging. You can pick up another distribution, the same thing happens, kind of. Pick up another distribution, the same thing happens. You might also be interested, quite possibly, in seeing the error scaling of the error with respect to the time division and the state space division in the dynamic programming formalism. So there's some kind of scaling going on. With respect to time, the scaling is pretty much uniform, but with respect to state space division, I didn't find them to be too uniform, kind of uniform. The time splitting is again uniform. The time usually increases when I am increasing the some error analysis. Also, you can just see that as I'm increasing the number of mesh points, the error generally decreases, right? The same thing happens. And in two dimensions, you can see that for a second order moment matching and a triangle shaped state space, I'm getting pretty much small errors for a particular set of parameters. For a third order moment match, I get a slightly smaller errors, but not really. And the spread of errors is like fairly uniformly spread. Not really, like it's can say fairly. So this was the simplest model you can conceive in real life. The simplest model. It's not even very close to being real life. So the simple model we I considered in this slide was lying over here, right? And right now we're building like this is a big picture where this model will lead to. Has already led to actually. Now we have already considered maximizing Sharpe ratio. This results in more complicated time inconsistent policies and a lot of interesting stuff that might be interesting for finance people, not really financial mathematicians. We've considered stochastic drift, stochastic volatility, stochastic transaction cost, and so we are actually kind of removing all the possible flaws Markowitz can have, creating a dynamic link with all the best parameters, and so we're linking stochastic volatility with the stochastic transaction cost, right? Transaction costs are not even constant, right? And they're really dependent upon the volatility of the market also. So this is the big picture. And tree-based methods are like, I look like a big fan of them, but they're not like the best thing you can possibly conceive. Like for these kind of models, they behave really well, like, right? But for complicated utility functions like mean variance objective, the error is kind of small, but it's not uniformly scattered. Like I get a little large errors in some points in the space, so I can actually create some fancy numerical receipts to get away with these kind of errors. I can get away with that, right? So they're not perfect. Like I can make them perfect, right? So, conclusions and future work. So, the purpose of this talk was to just give you a very simple model you can easily understand and show that it, the approximate solution is computationally very cheap compared to the normal methods you might use. Like, normally people are big fans of PDE-based methods, right? And for these kind of problems, like, the PDE is usually highly nonlinear, and with an increase in dimensions, like it becomes really problematic to solve it, right? Monte Carlo methods can be good substitute for high dimensions, but they have a lot of noise in them. So tree-based methods are really a very good substitute. I think they're a good substitute for most problems. It's just that people like using PDE-based methods because they're more academic. treeless method gives reasonable accuracy. I already discussed advantage over heuristic methods. And they have promising results for more complex objectives, complex transaction cost structures, and they can also address we have already addressed the problem of estimation risk. So over a time horizon, your parameters can actually fluctuate and change, right? And we need to actually come up with some dynamic algorithms which adapt to the changing value of the parameters, right? And they actually, tree-based methods can be used to incorporate that by using dynamic programming also. We've already discussed transaction cost. So our overall goal in Adaptec is to actually remove all the flaws in the static Markov-based portfolio theory and move to a unified theory that actually kind of makes everything very complete, and that's a revolutionary framework of analysis for each of the small segments. Yeah, and this estimation risk problem is really a very big problem. You know, like hedge funds really like face like they're short-term traders and they're constantly subjected to this estimation risk problem. So, kind of. Thank you very much for your.